Anyways, we're going by to rolling in Sechus Beitza, Perikei, this is the Chazara. We're going to do the whole Perik in one fell swoop here, and it's not that difficult, and here it goes. Perikei, Sechus Beitza. So, we're talking about, okay, just keep your head straight here. We're back in the world of Yom Tov. We've left Chol HaMoed, we're back in Yom Tov here. So, we're saying things that you can and can't do on Yom Tov. Normally, the only permissible thing would be Ochel Nefesh and things like that, because of Hoel and so on. But here, we're focusing on the issue of Tircha and Hefse, protecting yourself from loss and exerting yourself on different levels, not in a Malacha way, but just in an exhaustion type way. So it says, Mash'ilin Peros Derech Aruba B'Yom Tov. You are allowed to lower your fruit that is drying on the roof, but the rain is coming and you don't want it to get ruined. You can take the broom, whatever it is, and sweep it down the hole in the skylight, Aruba skylight, in your roof on Yom Tov. Even though that's, of course, a tircha, and it's not for Tzorach Yom Tov, but to save yourself from a loss, a moderate amount of tircha is permissible on Yom Tov, avalo b'Shabbos. On Shabbos, you cannot do even a moderate amount of tircha, so it's too bad. You have to lose. I told you the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, you could bring down like 5 crates worth, but in any case, I don't get into that. The point is, principle number one is, you are allowed to do a moderate amount of tircha for the sake of protecting yourself from a significant loss on Yom Tov, not on Shabbos. Now, the implication here is, because of the Gemara, the skylight, which is like a hole on the roof, which is in the same level as the drying fruit, would be mutter. However, it would be usher to throw all that fruit through a window if it would require like lifting the fruit up and tossing it through the window into like another room, because that would be tircha yaseira. That would be excessive labor. That would be a lot more work to go lift and pick up and throw it through. That would be usher even on Yom Tov. Umach nisim peros bekelim mipnei hadelef. You also can bring... Mechasim peros. You can cover your fruit with kalim. Kalim here means like sheets and stuff like that, cloths. Mevnei hadelef, they shouldn't get ruined by dripping water. This would be mutter even on Shabbos. Because here it's like, it's almost no tircha to spread a piece of a tarp or whatever as a cloth or a blanket or stuff over your drying fruit. That's no big deal. Therefore, it'd be mutter even on Shabbos, even though you don't need that fruit till after Shabbos, because the tircha is so little. V'chein kadi yayin or makadi shemen. Same goes if you have like open barrels of wine that are sitting in their jugs or of oil, and there's a drip in the roof, water's going to fall in and ruin it. You can put like a sheet on top of it. It's no big deal, even on Shabbos. V'nosen kli tachas hadelef. On Shabbos, even you can put a cup or whatever, a trash can, something, a kli underneath a drip in the ceiling. B'Shabbos, on Shabbos, so that it shouldn't ruin your house, whatever it is, it's no big deal. And you can even pour out that water and bring back the empty garbage can under the drip. That's okay on Shabbos, as you guys spoke out the other day. It assumes that the water is drinkable, but the threshold for drinkability is very low. But if it's not unpotable water, it'd be mukta, you couldn't move it. Okay, that's a side point that you marred about yesterday. So now, let me sum up the principles here. We didn't see in the Mishnah, but if it's for Tzorech Yom Tov, if you need it for Yom Tov, we just said, then you could do even Tircha Yaseira, excessive amount of work. If you need it for Ochel Nefesh, you can cook up a whole storm, a whole day's work. That would be mutter. You could bring down all the fruit off the roof, because you have to serve 1,000 people fruit. That would be okay. If it's not for the Tzorech of Yom Tov, then it will be usher to do if it's tircha meruva, excessive labor, like throwing the fruit through the window. But a moderate amount of tircha, that would be okay, like putting through the floor, the skylight, so the same level as the drying fruit, mutar on Yom Tov. But even that much tircha is usher on Shabbos. A minimum amount of tircha, like just spreading a sheet so things with damage, that would be mutar to protect yourself, if it's to protect yourself from a loss, even on Shabbos. If it's not to protect yourself from a loss, even that would be usher. Can't do anything on Shabbos that's not for Shabbos, so the only heter is if it's to save yourself a big loss, and so fine. Mishnah Beis, Kol shechayavin alav mishum shvus. Any time where you're not allowed to do a shvus on Shabbos, so a shvus, remember, is an iser derabbanan. It's like a rabbinic injunction not to do something, not because it's malacha per se, but because it could lead to malacha. So the rabbi said, don't do it. Whatever applies on Shabbos, mederabbanan, applies equally in Yom Tov. It's mishum shvus, mishum rishus, and mishum mitzvah. the three levels are shvus, means the rabbi said don't do it, but it's no, if you would do it during chol, there's no mitzvah value to it. Rishus is you're not supposed to do it on Yom Tov or Shabbos, but if you did it on chol, there would be some mitzvah value to it. We'll see examples in a second. And mishum mitzvah means it's an obviously a mitzvah to do on chol, but still you can't do it lest you come to do a malacha. We'll see examples in a second. Even on Shabbos, so chayv and alav b'yom tov, even on Yom Tov you can't do it either. Not chol mo, we're talking about Yom Tov, remember. So ve'elu hein mishum shvus. We'll have six examples now because of shvus. These are things that there's no mitzvah to them at all if you do it on a regular Wednesday afternoon. The rabbi said don't do it. First of all, lo olin be'ilon, you can't climb trees lest you break off the branches. Lo rochven al gavim behema, you can't ride animals lest you pull a branch off the tree to use it to hit the animal. So riding animals becomes usur, even if it's not your animal. Otherwise, if it's your animal, you couldn't ride it anyways because of, you know, your animals have to rest and harama, you can't ride animals and burden your animals. That's your animal. So an animal you could ride, word not for the fact the rabbi said don't do it because you will pull up a twig to hit it with. There's always a low plug when it comes to the dirt bottoms. That's how it always works. The lo shatan al panei amayim, no swimming, because you'll come to make a flotation device. V'lo metapchin, you can't clap. V'lo mesapkin, and not like slap your thigh. V'lo merakdin, and you can't dance. Those last three are because you'll come to make a kli nigun, a kli shir, you'll make like instruments. The poskim, many poskim rule leniently on that point. And as much as today we're not accustomed to making or fixing instruments at all, therefore they at least want to be more heter, those people who clap hands. Well, they would tune a guitar, but they wouldn't make a guitar. You certainly couldn't get it if you... I think most poskim are machmer, in case you haven't noticed. The world as a general, I think, is machmer not to clap and dance without a shinui. To do it with a shinui. Dancing people ought not to. But anyways, what people do when, I guess, the more heter is, the tzad kula is, that we don't make instruments today anyways. But as you pointed out, people do turn guitars, and really they shouldn't do it, maybe. Okay. Ve'elen mishum rishus. Now, these are examples, four examples of things that are really a rishus, meaning a rishus means that it's like a, for lack of a better translation, like a voluntary mitzvah. That is sort of a bit of a contradiction in terms. But anyways, the point is that it's not, if you did it, it's like meritorious, let's say, but really it's not a technical chiyah for you to do. Here are the examples. Lo danin, they can't, a basin can't convene to make a din Torah. The case of that, that's a mitzvah. Din Torah is a mitzvah. The rabbi said don't do a din Torah because you'll come to write things down, right? Which you can't do. But the case here, it's only rishus because there's a better, bigger basin elsewhere on whom the mitzvah really should fall. In other words, you shouldn't deal with this case. Someone else should deal with it because someone else knows how to do it better than you. But if you did do it, that would be still a mitzvah to, if you judge it like as it should be judged. But the point is you can't do it on Yom Tov. V'lo mekadshin, people don't get married on Yom Tov. We saw a second ago at in Moed Katan, they don't get married even in Chol Moed, but that was because of the Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha. Here we're talking about Yom Tov per se, and there's even a much, there's Isser Durabanan of doing it, lest you come to like write down a ksuba and so on. So why is it only a rishus, not a mitzvah? Because it is a mitzvah to get married. So the answer is, this is like a girl who's like, this is a man, I should say, who already is married with another wife and has children ready, so he has no real big mitzvah to get married now and have children. He's already yield to that. But if you'd marry her, it'd be rishus, but we don't do it on Yom Tov anyways. And not on Shabbos either, of course. V'lo choltzlin, v'lo choltzin, v'lo miyabnin, we don't do chalitza or yibam. Again, same story, lest you come to write down technical documents and so on. It's only the rishus because there's, in this case, the Gemara speaks out, there's an older brother. Usually the person who does the mitzvah is the oldest brother. This is like the second brother down does it instead. That would be a rishus. He could do it, he is entitled to, but not on Yom Tov anyways. Now the ve'elen misha mitzvah, these are things that are taka mitzvah, but still don't do it on Yom Tov because something bad will happen or looks bad. Here they are. Lo makdishin, we don't makdish property to the base of Mikdash, declaring it hektish, because it looks like Mecha Chamem, where you're transferring ownership. V'lo ma'arichin, this is erichin, is the basically committing a donation to the base of Mikdash based on someone's value, yours or someone else's. So again, it looks like you're doing a transfer, a Mecha Chamem car. V'lo machrimin, this is also, it's like another kind of being makdish things, but it's declaring an object belongs to the base of Mikdash. V'lo magbian truma u'maisar, you can't remove truma u'maisar to make food edible, because again, it looks like tikkun. Tikkun Kli, we said it a bunch of times already. Now, Kol Elu B'Yom Tov, all that stuff is Asar on Yom Tov. Amru Kol V'Chamer B'Shabbos. You can't end that stuff on Shabbos either. Fine. Last point of the Mishnah is really Beis Shammai Shita popping in here, saying Ein Bein Yom Tov L'Shabbos Ela Ochel Nefesh B'Lavad. There's no difference between Yom Tov and Shabbos except for Ochel Nefesh. Dafka, just foods, making food on Yom Tov, which is mutter. The din, however, is like Beis Hillel, which means that you actually remember Beis Hillel said, for example, Hoel, since they were matir doing certain things for Ochel Nefesh, they're not doing it even not for Ochel Nefesh, like for example, Chutzah, of carrying things in the Rishus Rabbim is mutter on Yom Tov, and that's a big difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov, even though it's not Ochel Nefesh. Okay. We saw other examples too, like for example, the throwing the food down off the roof, difference in Shabbos, Tirchei Yaseir, etc. Okay, Mishnah Gimel says, HaBehema VaKelim. In terms of now, from now until the rest of the Perek, we're dealing with Tchumen, the zone where things can be moved. So we say, HaBehema VaKelim, your stuff, whether it's your animals or your other, you know, your utensils, Karagli Balim, they are restricted to movement to the same restrictions that you are. Remember, you're restricted, remember from Erevin, to move just within your place, wherever that place is. If it's in the desert, it's just Dal Amos. If it's inside your town, it's the whole town plus 70 Amos around the town. And you cannot go beyond your place, I called it your footprints back in Mesachs Erevin, wherever it is, more than 2,000 Amos in any direction. Remember, we drew this picture on the board. The point, I'm only speaking this out to make sure it's perfectly clear that a person could, in theory, if he lives in a big city, he could have a long, long, he could be able to move tens of miles in any direction. Just in the middle of Manhattan. He's got a long way to go until the city ends. I don't even know where, I have no idea where the city would end in New York. I have no idea. And I don't even know how the post would deal with it. Like, it's really just one long, sprawling urban area with, like, lots of, you know, municipal lines drawn. I don't know how that law would work. And they go on all the way to Connecticut without any breaks. I don't know. Anyways,
I know we saw the passage that whoever pays Jerusalem municipality taxes is part of, you know, keeps Shushan Purim.
Oh, that's a little different. Shushan Purim is a little different,
it's not
right?
Parallel. But what I'm saying is that, like, I know municipality taxes change from like Brooklyn to like the Bronx, probably.
I don't get it. The Mishnah said, remember, if you could, the Mishnah gave measurements, it had basically, but anyways, in practice, it's, I don't know how they do it.
Taxes are set by the city.
Yeah. In any case, be that as it may, the point is that you can't move beyond your zone, however, wherever that zone is. So whatever that zone is, whatever applies to you applies to your stuff also. That's the point of the Mishnah so far. Okay, now, what happens if, you know, you get two parties? So, for example, here, the first case is that you are giving it over as a pikadon to be watched by somebody else. Hamoser behemto, I give my animal, levano, to my son, oloroa, or give it to some particular, my son's going to give it to a shepherd, I give it to a shepherd. So, assuming there are more than one shepherd in the city, hare elu karagli abalim, to me to give it on Yom Tov and say, please take care of my sheep, the sheep is restricted to my tchum, not the shepherd's tchum, because it was mine as the Yom Tov came in. Obviously, number one, if I gave it to the shepherd before Yom Tov, then he's in charge of it, and therefore it go after his tchum, not my tchum. And second of all, the Gemara speaks out, if there'd be only one shepherd in town, and I knew ahead of time going into Yom Tov, I'm giving it to him, just haven't made the transfer yet, because I won't see him until, you know, whatever it is, Saturday morning. So then, even though on Friday evening when Shabbos came in, Banish Mashas, it was in my physical possession, but really I was planning on giving it over to him, and it takes on his tchum, the shepherd tchum, not my tchum. Okay, because he's going to have Shemir on it. Kalim, now next case is boys that inherit something from the father but having it taken possession of it. So like the father died and there's still like stuff sitting in the closet. So let's say for argument's sake there's two pieces of clothing and one will fit me, one fits my sister, but we haven't taken possession. So until we take possession, the Yerusha is for me and my we both own them both. It's just that obviously when we actually go there, I'll say I get the pants and you get the dress. But until that hasn't happened, so it says, notwithstanding, if one of the siblings, literally means one of the brothers, of course, let's give a clear example for the boy and a girl, if one of the brothers clearly are miyuchad to one particular object, another to another object, each one's clearly going to take one and not the other, then Shababai is sitting in the house, hare elu karaglav, already before we've taken possession, it's as if it's come to me already, and it's restricted to my particular tchum. Like, you know, so me and my brother live on two sides of the city, or made air of tchum in two different directions, they would be restricted, each one, to our own particular tchum. V'she'ein miyuchat, and items that are part of the Yerusha in the house, that we haven't, there's no clear designation who it should go to, right? It's just, a book, right? The Shas. No, I haven't decided who's getting the Shas from Dad, now that we're inheriting him. So, Elu, so the whole Shas, then, since it's the both of ours, is B'makom. I messed this thing wrong, sorry. Hare Elu K'makom. Well, I must have missing a word in my Gemara here. What do you have? Okay, sorry. B'makom. K'makom shekulam kulan. You have sheholchin. That's the other word kulam there or not?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah, you don't have. Okay, so that's what I have. So I have the same guess there. It says hare elo k'makom sheholchin. It's in the place where they go, but it means when they both go. So meaning what? Meaning it's now restricted to both of their tchumen. So if they for example, one is got a tchum to the east, one got a tchum to the west. So only the overlapping area, they both overlap. That's where that the shas could be moved to. And indeed, if there was no overlapping area, like my tchum is 100% east and his is 100% west, so then he couldn't be moved at all.
I have hare elu k'makom sheholchin.
You have hare elu k'makom sheholchin. That is what I have too. Oh, you have a different. I see. Okay, fine. Okay. Oh, that's the farther. Oh, the Rambam's gear set? Okay, it's no different than Peshat, just a different gear set there. Fine. Right, they all, exactly. Sheholchin, they all can go. The place that's a common area to all of them, only that place can the item which isn't designated to any particular child can, you know, it belongs to all of them, therefore it's restricted to all of their tchumen, whatever is common to all of them. Mishnah Dalet says, Hashoel. Now here we're borrowing. We're not being poked, we're not depositing, we're not inheriting, we are borrowing from someone else. So Hashoel kli mechavero me'erev yomtov. If I borrow my next door neighbor's glass for drinking it on Yom Tov, so if I got it from before Yom Tov, karagli Hashoel, it becomes taking on the tchum of the borrower, meaning me, because I had it in Benish Mashos. But Yom Tov, if only on Yom Tov day I go and knock on the door of my neighbor and now take it, karagli Hamashil. Now it had the tchum of the owner, my next door neighbor, and it keeps that tchum, so I couldn't carry beyond his tchum. Ha'isha shishala mechaverta tavlin umayim umelach liisasa. If a woman borrows from her next door neighbor on Yom Tov, she's making a stew, so she borrows tavlin umayim, spices, or she wants water and salt to make a bread for isa, for a dough. Hare elu karagli shtehen, like that it's jointly owned. In other words, the water and salt in the dough is hers, my neighbor's, and it has her tchum, and the flour is mine, so it's got my tchum, and only that now combined loaf of bread can only go where we both could go. Rabbi Yehuda poter b'mayim. He says, mayim shouldn't restrict you, because once you make the bread, the water is mibnei she'ein behen mamash. The water is as good as gone. You don't see the water, so therefore it shouldn't restrict. And really, he would agree to salt also, assuming it's dissolved in, just that the salt, Gemara says, is a case where the salt, you can still see the big grains of salt, so then it's nicker, so it's still there. Either way, the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda. The halacha is the taka, if you make it of two different ingredients, the food is limited to both of their regions. Now, fine. Hagacheles, if you have a burning coal, so karagli balim, whoever owns the coal, that's to whose tchum it's restricted. However, the shalheves, the flame on the coal, b'chol makom, can go wherever it wants to go. There's no, doesn't apply, because a fire doesn't have like a mamash, it doesn't have it's not a thing, and therefore since it's not a thing, it's just like a chemical reaction going on, it can be transferred. So the point is, of course, meaning like this, just illustrating the point, that I can give my coal to my neighbor, and he can give it to his neighbor, or wherever, can't go forever, keep on going neighbor, because once it leaves my home, it's stuck. The fire, however, everyone in the whole world can light from the same, like a chain reaction, light around the whole world, doesn't matter, because the flame part of it is not restricted to any tchum. That's the point. Gechelish shel hektish. Now, we're left anything to do with Yom Tov for a second. Just talking about in general, if you have something that's owned by Hekdesh, it's a coal and it has a fire. So the Gecheles part of it, the coal part of it, if it belongs to Hekdesh, Molin Ba, if I use it to roast my marshmallows, that's Me'ila. I have to do whatever a person that does Me'ila does. I have to bring in an Asham and so on. Okay, and pay back a fifth. Vishal Heves, however, if I just take the flame from a hektish fire and use it for your own purposes. Lo nenin v'lo moalin. You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to do that. However, since there's no direct hana from taking this delight of it, whatever it is, I haven't taken anything from hektish. V'lo moalin. Therefore, there's no meila. So to use the light or the heat of the fire of the flame of hektish is not meila. Just the rabbi said, don't do it because you'll come to use the actual coal beneath it. And also, this is now an issue of Shabbos and Hotzah. Hamotzi gecheldes the rishus harabim. If you transfer, not on Yom Tov because it's mutter, but on Shabbos, to transfer a kol from rishus hayachid, private domain, to rishus harabim, a public domain, that's aser, like anything else, and you're chayev. However, vishal hevis, if you just transport the flame out of the private domain into the public domain, like you fan this huge bonfire that's in your backyard so that the flames leap into the rishus harabim, forget anything to do with hezek and damage and that kind of stuff. Pat, that's no problem because it has no mamashis. There's no issue of hotzah when it comes to transporting fire. New point, kilo new mishnah. Bor shel yachid. If you have a privately owned well, cistern, and inside there's water, the water belongs to me, and therefore the water will be restricted. Karagle yachid to wherever the owner, private owner, is restricted. That's where the water is restricted to. Vishel anche oso ir. If it's a public well that we all share, so then karagle ish anche oso ir, and the whole city's. Everyone owns it, and therefore it's restricted to wherever the people in the city could go. Now, just speaking out here, so if you're an out-of-towner, you can only move the water where everyone in the whole city collectively can go to, which may be a very small place, maybe nowhere. But that's not my problem, how you figure it out. But if it's the people of the city themselves, they all could use it, they all can draw from the public well, even if two jokers set up like two mutually exclusive erevin on either side of the city, Tchum on each side of the city, because we'll rely on Barrera over here saying that I own some water and you own some water. It's public water. So the water I pulled out of the well, that'll be my water, and therefore it's restricted to my tchum. And the water you pull out is your water and your tchum. You can't mess up someone else's in your own neighborhood because by saying it's also my water. Okay, that's how the Tana holds here. Vashal ole bavel. The third category isn't public or private water. It's water sitting out in the highway somewhere waiting for the people who are schlepping in from Bavel to come. Karagli mahamale. That's hefker water. And hefker objects, according to this Tana anyways, has no rishus, no tchum until someone acquires it. Whoever acquires it, it takes on that person's tchum. There's a machlokas tana, if you remember, we saw an Erevin, there's another sheet which holds cat's own tchum, it has 2,000 dollars from wherever it belongs. But anyways, this Tana holds, whoever draws the water from the public place, that water is restricted to the tchum of the person who draws it, took possession of it. Fine. Mishnah Vav. Mishahai, this is subtle. Misha hayu peros of be'ir acheres. If there's, I'm in city A and my grapes are in city B. Now, let's say that between city A and city B is 3,000 amos. Okay? So there's no way you can get from A to B because it's 1,000 amos away under normal circumstances. And therefore, I wouldn't be able to get my peros. They'd be stuck over there. They couldn't be brought to me. However, if the person in whose house I left it, let's, for the sake now, whatever, I just put it in the a little corner of the room, I said, don't touch it, don't, you have no responsibility for it, just leave it be and let it sit there and I'll take responsibility for it. If they now decide, oh, we should bring this guy his grapes on Yom Tov, and they make an Eruv, so they take a picnic basket, and between the two cities, at 1,500 almost away, they put the picnic basket, and they are Kona, Mokum, Shvitz over there. So now, they'll have 2,000 almost on either side of the picnic basket, which will span into each of the two cities, and now they can traverse from city B back to city A, no problem. Notwithstanding that, since the peros are my peros, and I didn't give it to them to watch, and I put it in its particular place, I'm saying that to cover all the shit that's Rishonim, so then they can't bring them, because those fruit have my tchum, and they're restricted, they're out of the tchum, so you can't move things out of the tchum. So therefore it says, Mishahayo peros of Bir Acheres, if my fruit are in that guy's house, in city B, the eruvu b'nei osa ir, and those guys in town B made an Erev to bring it over to me, lahavi eitzel perosav, too bad, lo yivilo, they can't bring it to me, because those fruit has my tchum, and it's out of my tchum, can't be moved. Vim Erev hu, but if I make an Erev, and I put my picnic basket, $1,500 out, you know, between the two cities, and now my tchum includes both cities, so then, perosav kamo, my peros are like me, and they could be moved, and then the people in town B could bring the peros to me, that'd be okay. Now, this issue has disturbed me greatly. So let me just tell you what I've discovered, which is even more disturbing. It's First of all, the machlokas are showing him what the exact issue is. If my stuff's in your house, is the issue? Because we saw already, if I give it to the roeh, if I give it to the shepherd, it takes on his tchum. So clearly, if I ask the person to be shomer on it, that he's taking the person in town B is watching my stuff, then the shomer, it'll take on his tchum. That's clear. Now the issue is, what if I didn't set it up like that? So most Rishonim seem to learn, if the person has no responsibility, for being a shomer, just sitting in his house, so then it keeps my tchum. The Rambam seems to learn the issue is of being based on the Gemara. I put it in a particular place and I said, this is where it belongs, like, don't touch it. I've been miyach at a particular corner of the room, Zav is fourth, and that's where it should stay. So I've appointed its place, therefore no one can move it out of its place but me, and therefore it's out of my tchum if it's out of my tchum. So, and that's how the Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah learns, that's how the Shulchan Aruch goes, like the Rambam. It seems like reasonable. Either way, I just want to speak out a big halachic problem that in my mind has been raised. I don't know what the solution to this problem is. But it's going to come out then, that every time you go away, here's the worst case scenario. I think, I need someone to give me the heter, where I'm stuck. You have to tell me the heter. Here's the problem. I'm going away for Shabbos to Yerushalayim, which is out of the tchum. I have a house full of stuff. And you say, can my friend stay in your house while you're gone? And I say, sure. So everything's in its place. The person that is shomer, like the Rambam, everything, the books are on their proper bookshelves, and the bed's in its proper place, and the pillow's in its proper place. Everything's in its place. And I'm out of the tchum. So it should be that none of it can be moved. And indeed, although the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah just don't deal with this issue, the Aruch HaShulchan does say explicitly, it's in Shin Tzadi Zayin, Aruch Haim. The Halach is in Yud Zayin in the Shulchan Aruch, but it's in Tes Zayin and the Aruch HaShulchan. He says you may not move them at all. Like in this case, he brings this exact case and says those peros can't be moved 1 inch because they're out of the tchum.
If you have a fruit basket on your island, they can't take an orange. Right.
Well, forget. Okay, let's go to the Mishnah case. If I leave my fruit basket in your house, which is out with the case, you're in city B, and I say you don't have to watch it. I'll cover all the sheets as the Rishonim. You don't have to watch it. I'm just keeping it here. It belongs in this corner. Leave it in this corner where I want it, and zeoze. So you can't, the Aruch Shulchan says, you can't move it at all. Can't touch that basket. Muxa? It's not muktzah. It's even worse than muktzah. It's out of the tchum. It's a separate issue. It can't be, it's not a muktzah issue. It just can't be moved because you can't move things outside the tchum.
Because I'm now out of the tchum.
Well, my fruit is out of the tchum.
Yeah.
Right.
It's out of my tchum because I'm far away from it.
Right. And that's really weird. Now that poses like a million major problems. I can't believe that's halacha, even though it seems. In other words, the Rav's not here for Shabbos this week. He's back in Yerushalayim. Let's say he left his sefer on his shelf. So the sefer's out of his tchum. It's in his place. No one's going to have to be shomer on it. I'm kidding. Both shitas. So like maybe you can't move the sefer off the shelf because that's hard to believe to me. It's just like.
Would that make
a whole shelf muktzah too? No, it's not muktzah. But his books can't be moved because they're out of the tchum. I don't know why it isn't the halacha. I find it hard to believe it is halacha because it's like a nightmare if it is, right? We can all put out we can all put on those, contrasim, protect the public from their own good and tell everyone it's usher to do anything. Anyways, kezot tzarech ian, I have a big problem. If you come with a solution, I'll be happy. That's that. Until then, one thing's for sure, until we come with a solution, certainly if you are going to rent, give your someone stay in your house and you go away, for example, that's the most usual case, or I guess if you leave stuff in your kid's house in America, whatever the story is, you have to appoint them as the person who's in the beginning of the house should be like a shomer on it. If they're a shomer, even a shomer chinam, then it takes on their tchum and it's no problem. But if they're not, you tell them, you have no responsibility to this, don't worry about it, you're not a shomer, then it seems like it should be usher to touch.
You have to speak it out and tell them to come.
I think so. Well, sometimes it doesn't work like that. Sometimes, for example, I say, sure, I give you the key and you're letting your friend stay in my place. Who's that person? To me, no one. I wouldn't even let them. If yes, then yes. But if you didn't do this, if you didn't point a shaliach, then I don't know how it's going to work exactly. Okay, so that's, well, they don't have responsibility as a shomer. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I take responsibility. I don't know if it's assumed. And let's say something goes wrong. Shomer chinam, right? Is potter from lots of things. So, whatever it is, that's tzarchim. That'll be a din Torah if something bad happens. Okay, so anyways, that's just like a halachic tzotzah, which is going to be very problematic, this Mishnah. Okay, fine. Mishnah Zayin, the last one, says, Misha Zimin Eitzlo Orchem. I invite back to city A and city B. We live 3,000 miles apart, and I invite you to come over to me for lunch on Yom Tov. So you say, great. So you have to, we're 3,000 miles apart, so therefore you have to make an Erev Tchumen from before Yom Tov and put the picnic basket in the middle, which you did very responsibly. The problem is, of course, that my chicken cutlets in my house are my food, and therefore they have my Tchum. So if you come to my house, you can eat them, it's no problem. But you won't be able to take them back to your house in a doggy bag because they're restricted 2,000 miles out of my city, not all the way to your house. So it says, Misha Zeman Eitzel Orchem, if I invite you to my house, Lo Yolichu Biyada Manos. When you go back home, in the same situation as you described it, you can't bring portions back with you. Ela Imken Zikalem Manosehem Me'erev Yom Tov. Unless, of course, before Yom Tov started, I say, this chicken cutlet belongs to my guest. So I've given it to you, and I've been mezakeh to you before Yom Tov. That's yours. It takes in your tchum, you can carry it back. Okay, and last point, unrelated, as we finish the seftah here. Yeah.
Does the guest have to know about that?
No.
He doesn't. You just have to...
The din is mezakin adam shelo b'fanav. You can give a person a gift, assuming it's all good, without him knowing about it. If you'd have any compunction, like, I don't want that, because then it wouldn't work. But, you know, I can't give you my nuclear waste. I'll say, it's your nuclear waste. Have a nice day. I'm mezakin to you. That won't work, of course, because of liability. But, so he doesn't have to know. That's a good din to know, because a lot of times, like, you'll give someone a gift on Yom Tov, so you can be mezakeh with a bottle of wine from them before Yom Tov. Just remember that it's theirs. If you drink it, you're stealing. Just, like, remember. I actually, seriously, have a bottle of whiskey in my kitchen that I've had it for more than 2 years. I got it for a guy. I meant to give it to the kids' bris. I couldn't get it for whatever reason to him. And there it sits. I've been telling him for 2 years. It's a 30-year-old Glenfiddich. It's like an old, very expensive bottle of whiskey.
Now it's 32.
Yeah, well, whatever. It's like, and I can't do anything with it, and it sits around. Anyways, that's the point. It's his problem every year. I keep on telling him. We have to do old shtick to deal with it. And it was even a bigger problem. We were in different time zones once upon a time. I was in London. He was in England. I was in England. He was in Israel. It's a problem. But anyways, I still have this little thing in my cupboard. What am I going to do with it? Yeah. What? So, and I got to get it to him. Anyways, he's my lawyer. Anyways, that's that. So, this kid's like two. I got it for the kid's bris. Anyways, so the last part of the Mishnah is totally unrelated, a new point, which is talking about what animals you can and can't shecht on Yom Tov. The principle is, this Mishnah is like a lot more words that need to be said. The principle is, if it sleeps in town, therefore it's considered muchan, and therefore you could shecht it, it was waiting for you. If there's an animal that sleeps out of the tchum, if it happens to waltz on in on Yom Tov, you can't shecht it, because it's not considered muchan. That's the Mishnah. It brings this issue about feeding them water. Feeding them water, drink, whatever that word is in English, giving them to drink, watering your animals. So, that right? Can you water animals like watering plants? So, you're watering your animals, that is mutter to do. You can always water your animals because they need food. If they're relying on you, you can feed them. The issue of this mission is focusing on as a package deal. Before you shecht, you water them. That way, the animals aren't dehydrated and you can get the meat off of the skin easily. So, like a side point. But the mission now says, Ein mashkin v'shochtin es midbarios. You're not allowed to give water to drink and then shecht your wild animals, your range animals, that's a good translation, your range animals, because they weren't muchan from before Yom Tov. Of a mashkin v'shochtin es b'isos, the word bayit, the ones that are like domesticated in your house, or at least in the tchum where they sleep at night, so then those are muchan, they're just waiting to get shecht and eaten, they're all okay, and you could shecht them on Yom Tov, no problem. Okay? Eluhen b'isos, what's the definition of like a domestic house animal? Halanos b'ir, they sleep in the city, within the tchum. Midbarios, the definition of a range animal is halanos ba'afar. They sleep in the dirt, meaning they sleep out there somewhere outside the tchum. Those are not muchan. You can't check them on Yom Tov.